Fall is here and we could all use a stiff breeze. That's right. This episode is brought to you by Blue Chew. Guys, confidence can take you far in life, but let Blue Chew take you the rest of the way. BlueChew.com and the code TMS. Coming up on TMS, the anonymous gifts are coming from inside the house.
Flaming pot Cheetos.
Dark nights in white satin.
Hot Twizzler action.
Rub some butter on it.
I'll pee on a plane.
A turd log and some toilet paper.
Mike and Ike were always stoned.
Happy Halloween, fellow kids.
Escape hatch chili.
Did I order this?
TMS is recorded in front of a live Tadpool audience.
Some goofy living thing.
Jor-El and Lady L.
Therapy Thursday with Wendy, an actual therapist, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Helen Lofton, a good-to-look-at girl with soft black hair and clear hazel eyes, gets a big charge out of life. But Helen is, I mean was, a great girl.
Well, sure, I'd quite love a chocolate. Or do you have any weed?
The sensation of Europe, now made in America by Samsonite. This is The Morning Stream with Scott Johnson and Brian Ibbett.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It is Thursday, November 4th, 2021. I'm Scott Johnson. He's Brian Ibbett.
All of this is correct information.
Good. I've got verification on line one.
Now mark it down in your programs with a check mark.
Nice. Well, I'm glad I can finally mark that one off. Hey, everybody. What's going on? How are you? It's Thursday. We got stuff. We got a show. We're glad to be here. We hope you are as well. I saved a little something for the top of the show today that I hope will be fun.
Okay.
You'll be the judge of this, okay, whether
okay.
it's fun or not.
Me or all of us as a whole?
I think you in particular, and then the rest after, okay. But you in particular. So
All right.
I got in the mail, and I don't know why. I don't remember ordering this, so I think somebody ordered this for me and didn't leave their name, okay?
Oh,
that happens
nice.
Sometimes. It's
a little surprise gift. Yeah, we get the occasional the occasional generosity from our... Tadpole community.
Yeah. So, nice. you never know what you're going to get. And this box says Vansky Ultraviolet LED Flashlight.
Oh, wow. Okay. Do you think that's what's in there? Or do you think it's a ruse?
We're going to find
out.
It's
a MacGuffin.
Okay. It appears to be a flashlight. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, this is exactly what it is.
Ultraviolet. Oh, this is so you can... It's like... Wait. Ultraviolet or black light? Like, this is going to be so you can look at...
Oh, is that what's going on here?
Stains in your hotel room. Oh, so you can find, like, your water leak thing.
Oh, that's what it was. Oh, did I order this that day?
Free Ranger says you did. Scott did order it. He ordered it on the air a few weeks ago to see the water stain.
I forgot. I totally forgot. You're right. I did.
Oh, what a lovely gift from yourself.
From myself, yeah. Oh, damn it. I don't have batteries handy. We could look and see how this looks. But all right. Well, now we know the anonymous giver was me. And, and I guess that's a, you know, look at that.
So, look at that. Look at all those LEDs. So,
yeah, I guess I'll use this to, I wish I could try it here so we could all see what the blue
is. I know, so we could see, yeah.
Although, I'll hook it up tomorrow.
We'd be able to see what kind of breakfast you spilled on yourself.
Yeah, actually really curious, like right around my desk here, like what kind of keyboard nightmare?
Oh, I know. I don't even want to know what, you know.
All right. Well, I'm not doing that now. But
No.
Okay. Well, I bought that. I forgot. Completely forgot that I got that.
I love it. I love it.
Out of sight, out of mind. I don't remember what I was doing there.
Friggles show title. I'm already loving it. I'm already going to go click that. I love this one. The anonymous gifts are coming from inside the house.
Oh, that's great. Well done, Amy. Nicely done. Yeah, I order. I never order the stuff I order, or I never remember the stuff I order if I do it on the show because we're in the middle of a show and mentally I'm not really committed. It's kind of an impulse and you just do it. True. And I mean, this was like $12 or something. It was like nothing. And then I forgot what I got it for. And also, we haven't had a problem with the water since the last storm. So I kind of think I know what it is now. Because
oh, really? You figured out where it might be coming from?
I think so. So basically, you know how I've got, I rewired upstairs internet to go down here to ensure that I had a backup for sure.
Yeah.
And I had to do it by going out the window up there, down the wall, and then into the vent that is the furnace room over down here where the old all the other internet stuff is. So there's a cable that's out in the wild, in the nature, that goes down in.
Sure.
Now, if it
and
just
water
rains,
lands on that cable and just travels along it into your house.
I think that's what's happening. We're waiting for a storm where we get enough wind that, because it only happened on the windy two times. We had a windy storm, and yeah. the wind is blowing toward the house and like in and like making water go in there, whereas the sprinkle we had the other day did nothing because there was no wind. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's going on, but then I got, you know, this flashlight. I can go check for, you know, carpet weirdness. So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
cool.
And I'll figure out some other fun uses for it. I don't know. I don't know what.
Yeah, just don't take it. Just don't take it to Vegas and.
Oh hell no! I am never taking a black light, ultraviolet light to Vegas ever. Yeah. I feel like that thing would just like start vibrating in my pocket the minute I got to town.
Right. You know? Yeah, exactly. I mean, you basically would need sunglasses as soon as you turn it on in your hotel room. Like, oh, it's so bright from all the
it's bad
stuff on the walls.
Yeah, I don't want that. So anyway, I bought myself something, I guess. That's the weirdest opening segment I've ever done.
Good.
All right. Moving on. We got an email from Nick who wanted to clear something up about the Matt Flanagan thing, although it's Mike, but he's being funny about the Matt part.
Hold on. I'm going to give you a link really quick. This is good show content.
Please.
This is from the TV show ER. I'm sorry, not ER, CSI, which takes place in Vegas. Right. Jump to about the 42nd mark.
42nd mark. All right.
I don't think you're gonna hear any Who music playing in this.
All right. Oh good, because we won't get in trouble then. 40 seconds. Hold on. 40, 30. Here we go. Oh, it's a short clip.
It is a short clip.
All right, I'm jumping ahead. Here we go.
From, I don't think it's from CSI Las Vegas. I think this is from I think it's from some BBC thing based on that laughter.
That's freaking hilarious.
Oh, did you not put that on the chat?
I didn't show them. I should. It's here, chat. My bad. Let me show you this video because you need to see this. In my head,
semen glow in the dark.
Here we go. He pulls out his camera and he's looking. You know what? We got to talk for a second about British laughter. Can we do that?
Yeah, right. Well, you know what? It's kind of so much better than the canned laughter you get on older shows and from the U.S.
Yeah. Why is it that it's so... Like, even their new stuff, like that Graham What's-His-Name show where they interview people.
Yeah, Graham Norton.
Graham Norton.
I like Graham Norton.
Yeah, I do too. But when the audience laughs, it's a different kind of laugh. It's like a... I can't explain it.
I think it's, number one, it seems like it's louder compared to the microphones they put in audiences in the U.S.
Yeah.
It could be wrong.
Yeah.
J.K. Kramer says, U.S. has canned laughter. The U.K. has tinned laughter.
I see what he did there.
Yes.
That's great. Thanks, James K. But like it's, I wish I had two examples here. Because like if you hear the MASH one, there's a certain kind of tone to it. And then if you hear one from like an old British comedy of the same era, it's a very different tone of laughter. It's
probably a more trebly, like for some reason, like just listening to that one, the laughter sounded a little bit more on the treble side than the bass. It's just, I think, how it's mixed.
All right. Well, it's genuine laughter, says Claire Gack. Is that true?
Genuine. Oh, really?
Oh, I see.
Oh, that's so funny, Claire.
I see. She didn't even put it in all caps. What's wrong with her today? You're not feeling well? What's going on?
Yeah, geez. I don't know.
No, I shouldn't encourage it now because if you do too many of the robot times are out for 10 seconds or whatever it is. So.
Right. Hey. No, and everybody hates, we all hate laugh tracks. We like genuine laughter, but the genuine laughter sounds different. Like if you were listening to a bad example is like the Ellen Show or something, right? Where she's got an audience and they're laughing. There's a very different sound than Graham Norton, for example.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly my take. And I don't know why that is. But like some... Yeah. like watching Seinfeld and that audience laughter when they're on set, not when they're in a car or something else, because that's all, you know, phony baloney. But the audience stuff.
Well, they weren't actually in a car. They were still on set, just in a little car.
Well, so okay, not bad example then. Like the parking garage one or the...
Oh, that's a good point, because that, yeah, that looked like it was... Right, that wasn't a set.
Yeah, they have plenty of outdoor scenes, and whenever they do those, that's always canned. But the... Right. Or, I don't know, maybe they're showing it to a live audience and the audience is reacting. I don't know, but...
Oh, could be, yep.
But when they're in set and they're in their little three-camera set, there's something I like about that laughter... And I don't think of it as a laugh track.
In front of a studio audience.
Yeah, it feels like a live reaction. It's like being a part of a play or something.
Cheers is filmed before a live studio audience.
There's also like a nice little piano intro for those things.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, anyway, on the issue of Mike Flanagan.
Yes, I'm sorry. Okay, back to Mike
Flanagan. Back to Mike Flanagan. Nick wrote in, says, hey, Oingo and Boingo, you were chatting about the Mike, not Matt Flanagan on TMS, and I got super excited. This guy makes art, and I feel like it was made directly for me, and I love how popular his work is becoming. You mentioned Kate Siegel, and I just wanted to point out that one of the reasons that she is in almost everything he does is because they're married. Well, I didn't know that.
There you
That's
go.
News to
well,
me.
There you go.
She's a lovely woman. Well done. She is. And he's he's kind of a, you know, he's like me. He's a schlub. He's like a weird looking dude. He's, well done. Anyway, I just
she's
wanted
like
to...
a more approachable Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, she has from a
she has
profile
a little bit
shot
of a Jolie look.
A very Kim said that watching Haunted. She goes, "Is Angelina Jolie in this?" I'm like, "No, honey, that's not her." Anyway, and I was wanting to point out one of the reasons that she is, they're married, which is cool. They make great stuff together. Oh, and she is fantastic. Then he says, couple recommendations. Flanagan has a movie on Netflix called Hush, which is a really, which is really intense. It also has a pretty neat Midnight Mass connection and the main character writing a book with a sad title. That's weird. Anyway, a scene showing what is written actually contains an actual scene from the show. I think that title shows up in Gerald's Game as well, is a book on the shelf. They also check out Dr. Sleep, Director's Cut of Possible. I'm recently rewatching the film Oculus, which is still really good as well.
I didn't realize he did Dr. Sleep. Yeah. I remember there's a movie Hush that I think is a different one, which had Jennifer Jason Leigh in it. This is more of a more recent 2016 thing called Hush.
I think this one's 2016.
That's what I'm saying. This is the Jennifer Jason Leigh one, late 90s.
The
Flanagan one is... 2016. I've saw Dr. Sleep, but I haven't seen the director's cut. So maybe I need to relook that up.
I haven't seen either, and I don't know why. I should watch that.
Enjoyed it. It was a good sequel.
Which sounds crazy, right? Like,
right.
And it must be weird watching Ewan McGregor play who could have been you as a child, Brian. You were almost a child.
Right, I know, yeah. I'm trying to remember, who's the woman who plays the villain in that? Because we've seen her in a lot of stuff recently, or I have anyway. She's great.
Let's Meredith Baxter here. Burney.
Definitely not. Rebecca Ferguson.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like her.
And we just saw her in Dune as the mom, as...
She's
Paul's mom.
She's great in Dune.
She is really good. Yeah.
Like legit.
Lady Jessica Atreides.
Yeah. She's intense in that movie. She's very good. In fact, in some way she stole the show. I'll just say it. I think that Timothy Chalamet kid's good. He's great.
He is good. But, he's very good. Yeah.
I didn't expect his mom to take the.
No, she was in the last two Mission Impossible movies.
She was she was the agent that was kind of working with him and kind of against him at the same time.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yep.
She was good. She was very good.
Life, which I don't remember if I've seen or not. That's Ryan Reynolds in space looking at some goofy living thing. Some goofy living thing, creature.
Wow, your synopsis. Get over to IMDb before you forget it.
I better quickly write that down as the...
I have not seen Life, and I remember it kind of came and went, and then...
Yeah, it had some bad reviews, and I think we were probably potentially waiting to see if it was sackable, I think is the...
Oh, well, there's always that. We can always film sack it.
Yep.
Well, anyways, Yeah, she also wrote Hush. Kate Siegel did.
Kate Siegel did? Yeah. Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah, which is cool. I'm going to go watch it. In fact, I hadn't even heard of Hush until last week, and I don't know why. This stuff's all up my alley. I love Gerald's Game. I like everything else he does, so thank you for the heads up, Nick, if that is your real name.
J.K. Grammer confirms, life is sackable, and Hush is on Netflix.
Nice. Yeah, Hush is on Netflix original, I think. I think it'll always be there.
Oh, it is Netflix original. Okay, you just said that.
Yeah, I think I did. Up. I think I did.
You probably did, and there's warrants a red on airline.
We haven't had one of those in a while. It's nice to know we can still pull that one
up. I know, yes, exactly. Fire up the red light generator.
That's right. You don't have to turn on the red on air light. All right, there we go. real quick here. Oh, I have a comic book recommendation.
Ooh, okay.
I loved the first issue of a brand new comic that just came out from Tom Taylor, who I have become a gigantic fan of. His work is just freaking awesome. I just love his work. He writes stuff for everybody. He did the all new Wolverine series that I finished and loved. The Deceased series, which is the one where this is basically Marvel Zombies but for DC kind of. Mm-hmm. He did an amazing job with that. He just did something for Marvel called, what's the date on this? Oh, I can't find it. Dang it. All right. Well, there's an amazing new series on Marvel as well that he just finished. But he goes back and forth. He also did that Injustice series for DC, which by all accounts should have been terrible. It's based on a video game.
It's based on the comic or the video game. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Nobody thought that was going to be any good. And it's some of my favorite DC stuff ever. Like, it's so good. loved it to death. Anyway, he's got this brand new series called Dark Knight Knights. Oh shit! Where is it?
Dark Knights and White Satin.
No, here it is. Dark Knights of Steel, issue one.
Dark Knights and Rodanthe
with art by Yasmin Putri. The art is amazing. Anyway, it's really great. It's this alternate history take of Clark when Clark's parents shove the baby in the rocket and send him off before Krypton blows up.
Yeah.
Instead, this take is they all got in the rocket and she hasn't even had the baby yet. She's still pregnant. So alternate history, they get in the rocket together. So you got Jor-El, Lady L, and then
Mrs. L.
Yeah. And then just enough room for the two of them. They land somewhere in this like medieval but fantasy based like realm.
So and Earth, like Earth, but thousands Earth, but of years
magic.
Ago.
It's got magic and it's like,
oh, gotcha. Okay.
You know, Lord of the Rings ish, but there's castles and all this shit. So they crash there. A bunch of dudes on horses try to kill him. Jor-El wipes them all out with his eyeballs and then becomes king. Because he's too powerful to, no one else can, you know, fight the guy.
J.C. Calhoun says DC's version of Marvel 1602. Yeah, right.
Very much so. Okay, very much so. I didn't even think about that. Yes, it's. I think it's set earlier. You know, if it's in an actual timeline, it's set earlier. But it's also, it's got like just straight up magic in it. But the magic comes in the form of characters you know, like Banshee and Green Lantern is called the Green Man, and everyone's afraid of him, and he's kind of the villain of the story. Batman, Bruce Wayne, is like the top knight of the realm and is sworn to protect the king and his family no matter what. He's got a bunch of Robins working for him, but it's all done in this like story. It's great. It's so good. I loved it. So I guess what I'm saying is there's only a single issue out so far. Totally worth the $1.36 or whatever it is.
It's brand spanking new. Cool.
Yeah. And it's great. So a little recommendation. And then whatever the thing he did just did for Marvel, like I cannot think of the name of it, but he just did it. Mm-hmm. It was real good. Hmm. Like a bit like his take on the DC thing where they were all fighting each other in Injustice. It's a little like that.
Right.
Not just the retread of things like Civil War, but you know.
Well, let's mention it to Steven. Maybe he can remember what the name of that one was.
Yeah, maybe I could have names of things in my recommendations when I bring them up on the show.
What was the people want to know? The Dark Knight?
Dark Knight of Rising. The Dark Knights of Steel. That's it. Dark Knight of Steel. Dark Knights of Steel.
Dark Knight of Steel. Okay.
Yeah, knights is in plural. So there you go. Dark sure. Knights of Steel. And the art is really nice. It's very nice.
Cool.
Yasmin. Jasmine? Cool, cool. Yasmin, I think is how you say it.
All right. I have a recommendation. Don't bet on the Packers this weekend.
Oh. Yeah, you don't think... when do they play?
I think they play Sunday, and it just came out yesterday that Aaron Rodgers tested positive for COVID.
Oh no.
Yes. Yeah. And there's question that he may have lied about getting the COVID vaccine.
And how they can test for that. To see if
can they now that he has COVID?
I thought there was I don't know. How do those antibody tests work? Do those do anything?
Yeah, that I don't know. I mean, and Benjamin 006 says, but he said he was immunized. And that's funny because they said, hey, have you gotten the COVID vaccine? He says, yeah, I've been immunized.
Which could be a
little press
anything.
Conference. And it, you know.
Yeah. It sounds like he didn't
Columbo,
get it.
Columbo might have asked a few follow-up questions. Pardon me, Mr. Mr. Aaron Rodgers. Pardon me. I've got some questions.
Well, all right. Yeah. So, they probably don't let him play with a positive case, right?
Oh, they certainly will not. Okay. Yep. So he will not be playing this weekend. So now's a good time. It's funny. The line went from Packers -1 to Chiefs -7.5.
Yeah.
So, spread changed dramatically, and it's a bummer that I didn't get in on it before that bomb dropped, because that would have been a great line to bet on.
Well, because you love your team. And,
I do. What you're gonna do. Although, yeah, that's the thing. I probably would have put money on the Packers -1.5. So it's not like I would have gone against the Packers in that case. Mm. And I would have lost whatever. So still betting on the Chiefs this week, probably.
Ah, the Chefs. That's fantastic.
The Chefs. Great. Googly moogly.
Googly moogly. Man, that commercial really stuck with us, didn't it?
It really did, yeah.
Of all the commercials we've ever seen for Super Bowls, that one just stays. True. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's true. It's like we remember a lot of the older ones, mm-hmm. the Apple 1984 business and some of the other things like that. But as far as newer ones, I think that's the one that I think of most or that I remember most.
Gold standard.
From the recents. That weird kissing the nerd kissing the swimsuit model.
Oh yeah, that was weird.
I can't even remember what that was for. GoDaddy?
GoDaddy? GoDaddy had, they were known for shocking,
trying to be irreverent and exactly.
Which is pretty dumb considering what they actually are.
Yes, exactly.
Pretty dumb. I heard Christy Swanson got hospitalized. She's like she's on a ventilator. She's super anti
actress Christy Swanson, Buffy the Vampire Slayer Christy Swanson.
Yeah, super anti-vax, super that. Now she's on a vent. So I don't want her to die or anything.
But, no, of course not. There we go. Oh geez.
Yeah, it looks like she's in Jersey.
You just kind of hope that this makes some people who follow her and were doing what she says say, maybe I will go get that vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Seems like maybe. Christy Swanson, Dice Tomato, is not in Ferris Bueller, is she? Or was she?
Say again, who?
Ferris Bueller? I don't remember her being
in there. Yeah, she was in there, yeah.
Who'd she play?
She was the girl who says, my cousin's friend told me that basically she retells the chain of events that led to her that he's really sick.
That's right.
She's in the classroom.
That's right. I forgot she did any of that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. And she was in other John Hughes things.
Yep.
And also in Dude, Where's My Car? So there's that. She's also our age. So good luck to you. COVID our age. Anyway, moving on to this story. Rasmus Johansson. That's a real name. Okay, I promise it's real.
It's a real name. Yep.
He wrote in, says, talking about plane dumps, because we were talking about...
plane dumps!
That dude in Europe who got hit with a plane waste brick and frozen poo block. Yeah, which is no good. He says, hello, Savant and Bloodsport. I just listened to TMS 2195, where you discussed the news article about the guy who got human waste dumped on him in his garden. Since this seems to come up on every show or on your show every now and again, as an aircraft mechanic, I would just like to clarify that normally planes do not dump the contents of the toilets out of the back of the plane. This would be a sanitary and environmental nightmare. Airplanes have an onboard septic tank that are emptied after landing. The loud sucking noise you hear when flushing is not due to the stuff being sucked out of the plane. It is pressurized in a septic system, sucking the contents out of the toilet bowl into the septic tank. Most likely what happened to this guy is due to some kind of malfunctioning of the system that regulates the pressure of the septic system on the plane during ascent, causing waste to exit from the valves and to regulate air pressure in the system, or fail to regulate air pressure in the system. This, of course, isn't something that normally happens. To sum it up, Scott, the chances of poo being dumped on some poor soul on the ground if you were to poop on a plane is pretty much non-existent. Love the show, though. All right, there's some confusion here, though. My desire never to take a crap on a plane has nothing to do whether it gets ejected or not. That's right. Not it. It
doesn't have to do with somebody, yeah.
Nothing to do with that at all. It just has to do... Actually, I don't have a good answer for you why it's a problem for me. I just don't want to do it any more than I want to do anything in a public way.
I don't like being in that... I'm not super claustrophobic. I'm more like John McClane going through the ventilation system claustrophobic, not airplane toilet seat claustrophobic. But that's a lot of stuff to work on in a little tiny space. And I'm a big guy. And I'll pee on a plane. I really don't like pooping on a plane.
Yeah, you'll do it if you have to. And I will too if I came down to it, yes. Right? I'm not saying I would kill myself trying not to. But,
right, exactly.
But I don't want to. I'd like to go at the airport or the other one when we land or
totally
not at all.
Or just at home. Yeah.
How about at home and then not again for the rest of the damn day? How about that?
Exactly. Yes. No, I'm totally with you.
Yeah. So it's a thing. Anyway,
I did the 4-hour flight to Vermont this last weekend, both ways, and did not get up to pee once.
Oh, well, well done. Nice job, actually. I don't know. That's harder to do than you'd think because you drink.
It is.
You know, you drink.
It is. Exactly. I drink the whole time. I'm drinking now.
Yeah, he's drinking now. real quick, though, I just wanted to tell Rasmus Johansson that he did help me clarify something here, which is I did assume, because there's so many of these stories about big chunks of crap flying out of these planes and hitting people's yards or slamming their roofs or whatever. I thought that is how the planes got rid of it and they just would get unlucky about where it landed. But according to him, that's not normal at all. In fact,
oh God,
it's
no,
rare.
That would be so horrible. Because I mean, yeah, no, even just going over a city or something, that stuff doesn't. There's not enough room for it to burn up on reentry. I mean, you're gonna have a turd log and some toilet paper landing on Bill as he walks down the street with his Starbucks.
What would you do? All right, here's a what would you do? If a giant slab of blue, you know, frozen plane poop ice slammed into your roof.
Okay.
Do you try to...
There's a hole in the roof.
Let's say it didn't create an actual hole, but it was like up there, you know? Yeah. Would you... your instinct as man of the house, you know? Like guy who's going to fix shit and get her done.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you go up and try to take care of that? Would you call, like... I don't know.
Oh, I'd call for sure.
Who would you call? I don't know. Who would we call? FAA or what do you do?
Right. I think you'd call the FAA. I mean, as you know, you identify and say, oh yeah, that's clearly blue ice fell out of a plane kind of thing. But I'm not going to, I mean, I've got some latex gloves that I use to clean the resin out of my printer. I don't think that's going to be enough. I think I need like a whole suit is what I need if I'm going to be handling that.
Yeah. It feels a little hazmat-y. I agree.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, I probably would start with the local police and say, hey, do you guys know who I call? A big chunk of ice just fell on my roof.
Yeah.
And they probably would say, oh, I don't know. Yeah, I probably call the FAA.
They can push it up the chain from there.
Yeah, exactly.
But you have to leave it there and let it drip into your den or whatever for an afternoon. Yeah.
Yeah, no, tarp is job number one.
Yeah. Well, you have those around when you used to go to Gallagher concerts. You have a whole stack.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's the splash zone.
Yeah.
Like you're in the
second,
like
third
zero.
Row. Yeah. You're going to get watermelon on you is the deal.
Yeah. Sam Jane says there's an app to tell what plane is flying over you. Yeah, but by the time I find that app and download it and all that stuff,
Yeah, you'd want to have
that plane won't be flying over me anymore. and who knows how much of that stuff will have dripped into my attic at that point.
Do you know if you're even anywhere clear or close to like where
we're
your
not under
planes?
A flight path. Okay. We can. It's funny whenever I go to Vegas, the flight path goes just south of us, and if I'm on the correct side of the plane, I can actually pick out our neighborhood and probably even pick out our house if I've got enough of a heads up. But I can easily see the we're right by Coors, the brewery Coors, and so they've got a recognizable silo that is a mile south of us. And if I see that as a little landmark, then I can just kind of follow the road north. Go, oh, there's my neighborhood right there.
Yeah. That's a big deal out there, right? The Coors place is
Coors,
big.
It is. Yeah. It's a huge brewery that takes up a lot of the eastern side of Golden, Colorado. And if you come to Colorado and you go to Golden, you can take the Coors beer tour. Although, I wonder if they're still doing it during the pandemic. Mm. It on the scale of a zero to the Guinness tour, it's about a two. The Guinness tour is the best beer tour I've ever seen. Not that I've been on a lot of beer tours, but it's like Willy Wonka, the Guinness tour. It was fantastic.
That's awesome. Matt used to work at who am I thinking of?
Oh yeah, no, Old Man Frank's.
Oh, Old Man Frank's. That's right. Coors. Yes. Yeah, he worked at Coors. He's still not. He's not there now. He's somewhere else.
No, right. Exactly. Yes. He's still in Denver, I believe. Right.
Yeah I think so. Him and his cute little kid.
Since we've kind of all stopped playing WoW together, I don't talk to those people as much anymore. I don't know how Tetsemi and Ro and
you'd have to go play a little Final Fantasy 14 to find out. And that's where everyone is right now.
Right? Is that the deal? Is that where I'll find Ro?
Everybody's playing it. Ro started a new podcast about it. He's like shifted.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like think He's of all the in. Stuff he used to do around the WoW space. Now just turn
just
him slightly to the left.
Final and
you go,
Fantasy.
Oh, it's all Final Fantasy now. Okay.
Gotcha.
Even Garrett's playing. I can't believe Garrett's playing. He hates anime stuff. Well, I shouldn't say that. He doesn't hate anime stuff. But he used to tell me about, I'll never play that game. It's still not my jam. Can't do it. Can't do it. And now he's in it. So
Is it like, raid teams and stuff like that? Or is it still mostly campaign adventure kind
of thing? It's basically all those WoW trappings are in there. So there's raiding and there's, all that. It's a different kind of raiding. Like the focus isn't on how hard can we make this and then have levels to, let's do mythic. It's not like that. It's let's get a giant group together and fight a thing. It's actually probably way more your speed, if I'm honest.
Oh.
But there's no Mac client. So.
Screw that. Is there a...
There's a PS5 client.
On consoles? Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Okay, so it's on consoles.
It is. All although, right. I don't think it's crossplay. I could be wrong on that. I'm not sure it lets you play with the PC people or not, but might be.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that interlude of...
You bet.
Gaming.
Just everybody I know right now is in there while I knock out quests in Elder Scrolls Online. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Nice.
All right. Moving on. Let's get to our emails, or not our emails, our news.
Well, what did we just do?
What did we even just do? All right, here's this. That sound signifies it's time for the news, and it's brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville. Today at 1 p.m. Mountain Time, as you probably have guessed from earlier, the hints, well, at least heard the hints pre-show, it's the 50th anniversary of Led Zeppelin 4, the fourth album by Led Zeppelin, the untitled fourth album by Led Zeppelin. So it's just simply called Led Zeppelin 4. It's the one with the guy carrying a bundle of sticks up a mountain, and it's got stuff like Black Dog and Stairway to Heaven and Misty Mountain Hop and When the Levee Breaks. And you're going to hear covers of each and every one of those songs on today's show, and I do it just like we're playing an album. I only interrupt during the middle of the album to flip it over, and that's what it's all about. So check it out today, twitch.tv/Coverville, 1 p.m. Mountain Time, Led Zeppelin 4.
Yeah, look at him carrying those sticks, chat room. I got a little picture up for him there.
Carry those sticks up that mountain, old man.
It's an odd choice for art for your album, don't you think?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it works now because we all look back and go, "Oh yeah, that's cool, that album or whatever." But
yeah, well, I mean, look at this other band putting just a prism on their album cover. I mean, it's an all black album cover with a prism on it. What's the deal?
What is the deal?
What's the deal, Andy?
I would love to do a legit somebody's actual album cover. I would love to do it.
Oh,
no one ever asks.
Well, I mean, you've done three, four Andrew Allen album covers.
Yeah, those count, right?
Yes, they absolutely count.
I know. I don't think of it that way.
You got Spock playing keyboards on one of them.
Well, it's because I know everybody involved. I feel like that didn't come up in my head.
You basically want somebody kind of, not out of the blue, but like, let's get this guy, Scott Johnson, to do our album cover as opposed to.
Yeah, it's just even some indie band.
I know a talented artist that would be great for this. It's Scott Johnson.
Yeah. So. Or, you know, it would be fun. Let me do the next Eddie the Beast there.
Iron Maiden. There you go.
Yeah, let me do my take on that guy.
Oh, would you do it? And you would do it as, I mean, you'd have to do it in your style.
Yeah,
right?
But I'd probably go a little more like, I don't know if you saw that recent Wastelander stuff I did, but it'd probably be a little more.
Absolutely did. A lot more realism to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stylized, but, you know, not too cartoony. Sure. Anyway, we'll see. All right.
Cool.
Here is your news for the day. It's important stuff. I'm glad you're all here for the news. This is, you got to stay informed.
Glad you've all joined us for the news, which will commence.
Being informed
now.
Is, you know, if you want to be a good citizen, first thing you do, get informed. All right. That's what I'm saying. Here's the first news story. Parents warned to look out for cannabis during the Halloween weekend.
Oh, no.
Oh, especially in states like yours where it's legal to sell that stuff. Right. And so, therefore, easier to move around or whatever.
It's less that the cannabis is hidden in the candy. It's that somebody accidentally has given out their gummy bears as opposed to the gummy bears they bought for trick-or-treaters.
Oh, yeah. I wonder how many times it's just a mistake, right? Like, they just screwed up. Because that could happen, I would assume.
Yeah. You remember those things that are like... Snookers and Skettles or something like that, where it's like it's got cannabis in it and the wrapper looks kind of like a Wacky Packages, kind of looks like the real thing that it's supposed to be, but it's the cannabis version.
Yeah, well, apparently this is a thing. This is an Illinois thing, but an Illinois attorney's office general's office blah, 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 issued a warning last week to be extra careful about which treats end up in your child's hands for Halloween. There could be a cannabis edible lookalike, like Brian was just describing, that will impart more than a sugar high. The potentially illicit cannabis edibles, which mimic everything from Flamin' Hot Cheetos to Skittles. Flamin' Hot Cheetos with
flaming
cannabis?
Flamin'
Pot Cheetos. That's the better name. Maybe that's what they use.
I don't know. Yeah.
That's really good. These are sold online, may contain high concentrations of THC, the main psychoactive element in marijuana. You can buy those online from who?
I don't know.
That doesn't seem legal, does it?
No.
Hold on.
No, I wonder if they do some sort of positioning, right? Like a thing to see if you're in a state that allows it.
Oh, maybe. Well, let's find out. Oh, look at this. Okay.
It's funny. So many people in the chat are like, no one is handing these out for candy because it's so expensive. I argue, if they're high, they might.
They might. And also, okay, this proves Brian's point, and I'm going to put this on the video, and I'm also going to give it to you in our Discord.
Okay. In our Discord? Okay.
This is the Flamin' Hot Cheetos bag, which, unless you're really paying attention, that looks like legit Cheetos.
Yeah, it totally does.
Chester on it, who, as we know, is a cheetah.
But they call it Cheetos?
Cheetos.
It's hard to tell with the...
Medibles?
The wrinkle in the bag. Is it Cheetos?
It might be a slight weird font thing that they're doing, but...
But yeah, all the little pot leaves on the bag and... medibles and stuff like that.
And chat room, you say, I feel like that's fake. I'm getting this off of this weed store that sells it. I can add this to cart and buy them.
Yeah.
500 milligrams of THC in these Cheetos. Cheetos cheesy yummy edibles package with 600 milligrams of THC in every package, even though above it says 500. Now I'm starting to worry. These are special calendar.
Here's the thing. I mean, this is the stuff you eat when you're already high. What happens, right?
Somebody may have written this when they were high. Let me read to you what this says. Okay. So, Brian, the listing says Cheetos, 500 milligrams THC. Now, the description says $20. That's kind of expensive.
It is.
It says Cheetos cheesy yummy edibles chips. packed with 600 milligrams of THC in every package. And this is where it gets weird. There are
with 20% more THC since we had the bag done.
Then this says, these are the special kind of Doritos. Wait a minute.
They're not even Doritos.
Extreme potency. Recommended dosage is to start with just one or two tortilla chips. Again, these aren't tortilla chips.
Yeah.
And then wait 20 to 30 minutes to see how it affects you.
Well, or are they, right? Like, it, you know, they might not be doing the cheese. Oh, no, the picture on the front shows little cheese puffs.
Yeah, I think this. Yeah. I think they were
stoned. I think they did a little copy and paste.
What would a guy who's high do? He'd copy and paste, right? That's what.
Right. He'd copy and paste and say, well, Cheetos, Doritos, whatever, man.
I mean, these guys have a ton of, like, let's see here. This is called googleweed.com.
Really? That's their company name?
Yeah.
They're like
their company.
Wow.
Their
I mean, they're just name. Like, let's throw caution to the wind and see how many cease and desist we can all get at once.
No kidding. I'm trying to see here.
Yeah, Google Weed. The first thing you get is a page that says, welcome to Google Weed. Are you 19 and over?
Yeah.
You can't, I'm not both.
I think there's a translation issue. Yeah. Okay, there's one called, there's a listing here called M&M Peanut. 600 milligrams of THC. Ooh, it's M&M. All very expensive. Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, got- you know what? Chat room's right. No one's going to spend $23 on an M&M package that's full of weed-infused M&Ms and then go, well, I'm putting that in there for a kid just to take it. They're not going to do it.
No, I'm sure, like, they wouldn't do it on purpose. I'm just saying if they're high enough, they could easily make that distinction. Oh, yeah, look at these. Like, they've just replaced the and between the M&Ms with an N, so it's M&Ms.
Yeah, and they must be offshore. Everything else, I mean, they must be in an offshore kind of situation where nobody can sue them or something. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they'll say Cheetos on that bag, I swear.
Right, Mike and Ike's.
What, does it have an N in it as well?
No, I can't tell what's different about it.
Mike and Ike's were always pot infused.
I mean, these Twizzlers. All right, I'm putting a link to these Twizzlers in here.
Oh, let's see. Let's see some Twizzler action. Hot Twizzler action.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, yeah, look at that. I can't tell the difference. Twizzler
minis. There's nothing on the front of this. Oh, like a little tiny 600 milligrams bag in the bottom left, or a milligrams logo on the bottom left corner, but... The there's nothing else. Strawberry watermelon, strawberry lemonade, artificially flavored, blah blah blah. There's no way to tell.
No, except that you spend a ton of money on it, and hopefully you don't give that to a kid at the door, right?
Exactly. Cold Cash maybe is right. If they're high enough cover, they are answering the door. Listen, you know they're probably smart enough to say, yeah, this stuff, don't buy the stuff that, or don't buy the Halloween candy that looks like the stuff that we just got from the dispensary.
Yeah. Yeah. The ones
because
they'd
have the wherewithal at that point before they start smoking all the stuff they got at the dispensary.
The edibles I saw, either California or maybe it was Vegas. I don't remember. It may have been my last BlizzCon because by then California was legal and everybody had edibles out there. But the way they looked is they all looked like little, hex based coins. So like,
right.
A gummy, but cut into like a hexagon of some sort,
like a honeycomb kind of shape.
Yeah, there you go. And I assumed the reason for that was so you could cut them symmetrically if you were going to portion them. Like if you only were going to take half, you'd know mm-hmm. what point to cut and get an exact half. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Pirate's Gold. There you go, Sam James. Yeah, like right. that. Right. So all this idea that there's a Cheeto full of pot, that's just insane sounding to me. I don't know why.
Is. Yeah. And listen, as someone who doesn't partake, the people in the chat room probably know better than me that even if you're high, you know how much you've spent on all that stuff. So,
yeah, I guess so.
You're not going to accidentally.
That's why it needs to be more mainstream because the prices will get brought down. That's how that works.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to this story. Yes. Astronauts in space. Oh, no. Steve Buscemi. Let's do this story.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Cool.
Steve Buscemi dressed up as his fellow kids meme for Halloween.
And hi, passed, fellow kids.
And he passed out candy at Park Slope there in New York. It's pretty awesome.
It's the easiest Halloween costume, right? Because he's just basically wearing like a hoodie and holding a skateboard. And
yep, he's got. I mean, he's actually looking. I hesitate to say this, but Steve Buscemi, one of the weirdest looking dudes in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I think he looks cooler the older he gets.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
There's something happening to him where age is improving.
For
his,
sure,
his weirdness. But anyway, there he is, getting pictures done, handing out candy, got the hat turned backwards. It's just like his little meme. He's even wearing the shirt where it says classic lightning bolt band that he wears in the meme.
Well, and Elvis Costello's with him for some of this.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there he is. I don't know what kind of... Let's see, Elvis Costello, Steve Buscemi giving kids a Halloween crawl. That's awesome.
How cool would that be?
It's funny, that picture does not show Elvis Costello, though.
Oh, that's not him in the leather jacket?
Maybe it's the second. Let me look at another picture, because the one I jumped to. Oh, yeah, that's him in the leather jacket. Yep. Yeah.
And he's going...
Yeah, the other picture from that... what is up with that leather jacket, Elvis Costello? Dude. I mean...
Man. Yeah, what army do you belong to?
It ain't Oliver's.
No. You think he's Veronica? That's on his mind right now. That's what he's doing.
Yeah,
he's
singing. Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Oh yeah, look at his little chain. Got little chains between
chains dangling from it, and looks like skeleton arms on the sleeve, on the shoulders, maybe yeah. On the.
Looks like an expensive neighborhood in New York.
Yeah,
is my guess.
Yes, I would think so. Yeah.
Is there such a thing as an expensive neighborhood?
One of the nicer boroughs, although they're saying Park Slope.
Yeah, where is that? Is that
in Brooklyn?
Is it a Brooklyn deal?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, Steve Buscemi showing us how to be real, man.
Real. Yes.
Yeah, he shot himself in the face and made himself a meme. Well done. Oh, it's Greenwich Village, maybe? I don't know. I don't know where Park Slope is. I don't know nothing about nothing.
I don't know. Yeah, Kissy Bears confirms it's Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, the gentrification capital of the world is what that is. all right. Finally, astronauts grew some chili in space. And made tacos.
Gruesome
green chilies. They grew them in space. Yes, that's right. The astronauts aboard the International Space Station had the pleasure of dining on space tacos last week. Tacos topped with green chili that was actually grown in space as part of NASA's Plant Habitat 04 investigation. Scientists began growing chili in the hatch.
Hatch chili, yeah.
Oops.
Escape hatch chili.
Don't push that button. Anyway, a type of pepper found in New Mexico's Hatch Valley aboard the ISS in July in an effort to understand more about the plant-microbe interactions that would happen there. Astronauts have grown other crops such as lettuce and radishes in space before, but peppers are a more difficult grow in space because they take a relatively long time to germinate and bear fruit.
Trying to remember if when I was growing, because I was growing jalapenos and stuff here in the house using the Aero Garden, and for whatever reason, I'm remembering that tomatoes and peppers, you had to grow the plants in pairs because they have to cross-pollinate. Like the tomato plants pollinate each other's.
I see.
But like you basically have to go and shake the plants as they start growing because you want the... pollen? Is it pollen? Would it be pollen? Anyway, I guess, yeah, from the flowers to go to the other plant. Because
that's what happens in nature,
grow.
And if you have to reproduce that, you have to fake it, right? Is the idea.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, look at him and looking at his little space microwave looking thing. And
man. Was it Tuesday? I hope it was Tuesday. But
Every day is Tuesday on the ISS. Tacos. It's always that day. I've noticed something about space. Okay, this is just a final
everything
thought.
Looks like current like 3D printer technology.
it does.
No glossy surfaces. It's all just exposed cables.
It is. It's weird. And also, cable management is apparently not a priority for
right
for space.
Yeah, twist ties are light. You can carry twist ties up on up on the shuttles with you, right? And kind of manage those cables.
Space is weird, man. You never know what you're gonna get in space. Except now, I guess you can get a taco up there. All right, that's going to do it for today's news. We're going to take a break. When we come back, my sister Wendy will be here. We're going to discuss abandonment issues.
Interesting.
Yes, have any of you been abandoned? Well, stick around because we're going to talk about the origins of that, why it feels bad, and what you can do about it. Coming up here,
I've lost my boy. I've lost my child. Oh, he's right here.
I have a great story like that that I will save for later, possibly. If
oh,
it's
great. Okay. Good fantastic. Context.
We'll find out. All right, Brian, we need to play a song, though, before she gets here. So what do you have?
Sure. I've got a new song from Harvey Sutherland. Harvey Sutherland has released a brand new single, along with a new video that looks like it's straight out of the 70s. If you're a fan of EDM, but maybe older sounding EDM, like Kraftwerk and that sort of thing, you're going to love this. This is French. Although there's no lyrics or anything, he's actually from Melbourne, Australia. The song is called Jouissance, as I looked it up and had the YouTube lady pronounce it for me. Available now, Jouissance on House Anxiety by Harvey Sutherland.
Hey, you guys, what's going on? You know, it's fall. It's fall. Do you feel it? We could all use a stiff breeze. This episode's brought to you by Blue Chew. Guys, listen, confidence can take you pretty far in life. It can help you in the bedroom as well, especially when it comes to stepping up to the plate. Well, that's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets at a fraction of the cost. And you can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever the opportunity arises. This process is pretty simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. No doctor visits. No sitting around in that office waiting for anybody. No awkward conversations. And no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew tablets are made right here in the USA and prepared and shipped directly to your door as well in a very discreet package. So, first impressions are important. What about lasting impressions? That's right. Blue Chew can help you in, the ways you need it to help you. So, if you could benefit from that, a little bit of extra confidence when it's time to perform, Blue Chew can help. We've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code TMS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code TMS, to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information as well. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring today's episode.
Hey, look, Matthews, you don't mind me sticking my two cents in this, do you? It'll do me a lot of good.
No, I don't mind.
Which ones, Mother Teresa?
You guys want some sandwiches? This is the Morning Stream.
Do indeed want some sandwiches. That song once again was?
Sure. That song is called Jouissance, and it's performed by Harvey Sutherland, brand new single that he just released this week.
Oh, that's lovely. I like the late breaking music that Brian brings sometimes. You know, it's right off the cooker.
Darn right. Fresh off of the stove.
Yep. Ready to eat and share with your friends and your family. Mm-hmm. Like this
Dish
time of year. All right. I think Wendy's here, so we're going to play this. Everyone knows. Hey, look who it is. It's my sister, Wendy Dunford, all the way from where she is in Minnesota. Where she is.
Where are you?
Well, I'm right where I am. Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good.
We're fine. How was Halloween? Did everything go fine?
Halloween was so fun.
Yeah.
Did you have a lot of trick-or-treaters?
No, which is just what I like. About 20. And that's what I got. So I was really happy about it.
Good. That's not too bad.
Like, you don't want to be there all night. The dog hates it. It's a thing.
Yeah.
You want basically enough to empty the bag of candy you bought, and that's about it.
Sure.
Yeah. And with some leftover, let's be honest.
Did you have the whole, like, you know how it isn't here in Utah? If it lands on a Sunday, they do it on a Saturday or something. Mm-hmm. They did that this year, and it was, like, all split up. And so you had these, like... You know, you had this the sectarian folks on Sunday still showing up, so we kind of had a two-dayer going. But most of them happened on Saturday. I assume it was all a Sunday affair out there.
Yeah.
Well, then that's normal, and that's how it should be. Mm-hmm. Did you dress up as anything?
Adam grew up in Ohio until he was like 11, and he said they had what was called Beggar's Night, and that was always the last Saturday or Friday, I can't remember, of the month, and that's the whole community decided that's when trick-or-treating was. It never changed. So it could have been, you know, the 27th. It didn't matter. It was just that's when trick-or-treating would happen. And then people could just party on Halloween. And I just love this idea. I think it should be
why'd they call it
on a Monday. You know what I mean? It ruins school.
No, I agree. They should always just say last Friday or Saturday of that month instead of the
30th. I agree. Yes. Most of our holidays should be that. St. Patrick's Day should be that. Mm-hmm. Valentine's Day should be that. Like, you know.
What days do we have? I guess Thanksgiving's the last Thursday. Right.
And Easter is always on a Sunday. Like, you know, there's ones you just couldn't do it with things like New Year's Eve or Christmas, probably.
Yeah.
I just wish Christmas was always a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Always.
A Wednesday. Why a Wednesday?
Because it's like Like, really, what are you going to do Monday and Tuesday? Off. Yeah, exactly. And then Thursday, Friday, it means a whole week is Christmas. I love it. It's Wednesday. Okay. It's a perfect day for Christmas.
Yeah, you know what? You're bringing me around. That's not a bad idea.
I know.
We put up the tree yesterday.
And, you know,
yesterday.
The worst day is like Sunday or Monday. Like, Monday is the worst day to have Christmas.
No, it's the worst. Yeah. I agree.
And Saturday. Yeah. I want Wednesdays. That's
Wednesdays.
Just my vote.
All right. I vote Wednesdays. We just put our tree and our lights up yesterday.
What in the world?
I know. We're those people. Look, Kim was like, she did no decorating for Halloween. Usually we do something. We didn't do any. Although we did have, you know, we did costumes and had fun on the day, but we didn't do anything prior. And she, especially post pandemic, just loves Christmas in a way that I don't remember ever seeing her love Christmas. So she's like, I'm doing it early and I don't care who says anything. I'm like, all right.
She also has like a grandkid and like she's not buying $1,000 Legos now. She can buy like the $20 Legos.
Yeah, the cheap Legos. Yeah, that's true.
She's in a good stage.
Yeah, right. It is a good stage for me and her. And anyway, it's nice. Very festive in the front area there where you walk in. It's like, oh, the tree. It's nice.
Oh, Thanksgiving. Screw you.
Yeah, screw you, Thanksgiving. Anyway, so there's that. It's good to have you back. We're gonna dive into a somewhat difficult topic, or, you know, for some people, this is going to be, I guess, a warning. I don't know how much trigger warning people need for this, but we're going to talk about abandonment, and that often means, hey, your parents were either horrible, or they left you, or they straight up just ignored you, or, you know, it's one of those kinds of discussions. And for those new to the show, and you're wondering why we're doing this, Wendy's an actual therapist. She comes here on Thursdays and helps people with
real
problems.
Why are you guys doing this?
Wendy just has some feelings she wants to share.
Yeah.
Poop jokes.
I mean, it would be weird for a new listener, because if they don't know any better, it'd be like, oh, here's my sister. We just talked about holidays, and now she's going to help us with abandonment issues. Like, it seems weird. So I have to explain myself.
You get new listeners? This is funny. I just assume it's the same people for 11 years.
Well, it's probably the same thing.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah, it's the same thing. All right, let's get to it. This is a very short message / email that I got from somebody. I'm going to keep them anonymous, but I think it's enough to kick us off in the direction we want to go. And it goes like this. I have major abandonment issues. My mother gave up on me as a teenager. Dad kicked me out after high school after an issue with my mom. I always feel like I need to perform my best and not waver, or people will pick up and leave. Signed, anonymous. So short and to the point. I thought it'd be a good place to go, or to start with the whole concept of abandonment and what that even means. Cause it doesn't, I'm sure it's more nuanced than people think. It's not just simply, my dad disappeared one night when he said he was going to go out and get a pack of cigarettes or whatever the old story is. It's more, that's totally Nelson Muntz's dad, isn't it?
It's totally what happened. Absolutely. Yeah.
there's more to it than that. And sometimes abandonment can happen and you'll still live there till you're 18, but they've just given up on you, or don't, you know, kind of wish you had never happened, or whatever.
I've got an abandonment story that I can share that is not at all the bad kind of thing.
Sharon, what is it?
Tristan was in elementary school. We were here living in the house we're in now, and it was about 2003, 2004. So Tristan maybe was about five or six. Mm-hmm. And he was old enough to go to the bus stop himself, obviously. But we would pick him up after school, and or he'd take the bus from school over to a kinder care, and he'd hang out there until we were off of work, because at that point I was still working in an office in Boulder. And what we didn't realize, or I take that back, not that we didn't realize it, but it was take your kid to work day, and neither of us had the ability to take him to work. But we all knew that, and we checked and said, oh yeah, buses will still be running, school will still be going on, all that stuff. So Tristan made his way towards the bus stop, but didn't see anybody there, and immediately thought, oh no, I've missed the bus. Crap. Mm. So he got all the way out there, and then he turned around and came back. Well, by that point, both of us had left for work. And so he was here at the house. He basically sat on the porch swing, our back porch swing. He was kind of going to wait it out, I guess, for a while. and ate his lunch at 7 o'clock in the morning because he didn't have anything else to do.
Oh, and he's locked out, right? Like he's
and he's locked out. There's no way to get in the house, and for whatever reason, he didn't go to the neighbors. Neighbors would have been happy to help him out, get a hold of us, whatever. Then he decided he was going to take it upon himself to walk the mile to KinderCare himself, and cross a very busy street in the process of doing that.
Oh, man.
And so he did that. He got there. They called us. I left work immediately, went down, picked him up, and hung out with him. But for a long time after that, he had some fear of abandonment issues.
And, oh, interesting. That really stuck with him then.
For a few years after that. And it was difficult to kind of get past that. Like, you know, Tina and I'd always need to be around him. He was less likely to do things independently if it took him further away from us. So, you know, we had to walk him to the bus stop a few months after that, for example, things like that. So yeah, I can absolutely relate to abandonment issues that aren't triggered by a parent just leaving or neglecting their child. This was a completely honest mistake that just was the perfect storm of bad things all happening.
So it's like Home Alone without the nutty hijinks, basically.
Right. Exactly. Yes, yeah. Exactly. And without the distracted mom not counting the correct number of kids.
Yeah. Right. So that's interesting. I never knew that, but B, hadn't really considered the impact something like that would have, and imagine how much worse it would be if you just didn't care about your kid, and you just dumped them somewhere.
Carry through.
Yeah. So
it's a perfect example of like the basic fundamental process that happens, that it's not about intent at all. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's a great example because it shows just one time and how long it takes to get over it. Because it is really biological. So I'm going to go through the explanation of what happens to us when this type of thing happens, and then we'll extrapolate to this person who is, I mean, in very significant ways, his parents have said, we're done with you or, you know, those type of things. And so obviously that's going to be different. It's going to, in its intensity and other things. But so that story is a really great one because you're a kid, you're living your life, you walk to the bus stop because, you know, you've gained this amount of independence. There's feeling good about it. The fact that he would go back to the house, you know, he's making kid decisions. He's five. He's like, yeah, nobody's there. I'm going to go eat my sandwich. what are my other options? You know, all of those things. And no kid's going to make, maybe the best decisions. But that is what starts to happen when I'm alone. I'm scared. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? And we talked last week about the amygdala and the cortex a little bit of, so he's alone, he's freaked out, and then the cortex is like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Mm-hmm. And they start to come up with a five-year-old plan, which includes walking to daycare. And
exactly, yeah.
Crossing that street.
Sure.
And all of that good stuff. Okay, so that is all happening at the time he is alone. So think of it as like his system is now alerted to I am physically, he may not have had this thought like someone could kidnap me or kill me, right? But plenty of kids probably do. Yeah. But he has the awareness that he is not totally safe, doesn't know what he's doing. Obviously, his brain is responding in this particular way. So then he gets to a safe place, and then you guys come and you do all the right things. But that memory or that impression of not being cared for or safe at a particular stage in life, that takes a while to unwrite. It's like it's written on a blank paper.
Absolutely.
And now we're trying to erase it and it's got a dent. Mm. Like, oh, yeah, that's kind of in there, right? Yeah. Yeah. Which is why any parent who has forgotten to pick up their kid from school or whatever they've done, it's you are like horrified that something like this would happen because we as have all been children. And we also have this sense of like, it's almost a biological sense, like, oh no, that's not good. Yeah. You know, like this. Mm-hmm. And then we just really hope they're fine. And we kind of, and it's because on some level we fundamentally know that that's dangerous. So we can go back to sort of original human behavior. And that is, you know, you're in a tribe, your community is what keeps you alive, safe and fed. And if you wander away from that, you are now, there's a threat. You're going to be eaten by a lion. Someone from another tribe is going to kill you. Like, you're not okay.
Yeah.
And so we are built around that dynamic. We are hunter-gatherer, early Homo sapiens who will die if we are abandoned. We will die. And so it's that's why our system responds so intensely around these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, so that's the fundamentals of what's happening. So then how does that look throughout a life? Okay, let's say you and Tina were like, eh, too bad, kid. Walk to the bus stop the next day, you know?
Yeah, it'll it gives you character, toughen you up.
Yeah.
And the truth is, historically, that's kind of how it's been treated. But and I would just like to rip on America for a minute.
Do it. let it rip.
I'll tell you. Yeah. Maybe you should do a trigger warnings. If you're like super pro-American, then don't. You got to just plug your ears for a second. We are, as a nation, so bad with trauma. We cannot handle it. Listen to the way we talk about stuff. We're like, we're going to... I don't know. Just the rhetoric of like, it's all fight and tough and war and like, I don't know, beat this whenever anything hard happens. Like, yeah.
Rub some dirt in it sort of attitude.
Put butter on it and quit your whining. Like that is very built into our ethos. And
Wait a minute. Did you just say rub some butter on it and keep what did you butter? What's the what's the butter?
Here's an example of when you marry into a family who has a phrase. Every time anyone's hurt in Adam's family, they just say, put butter on it.
Really?
I love it.
It's like a joke. Especially a burn. It's like the worst thing you can do is put butter on a burn. And so the joke is if you're burnt, you put butter.
Well, that's funny because I remember hearing that at one point, that you put butter on a burn. Yeah.
Yeah. And it really is the worst thing. And Adam's brother's an ER doctor. And so it's always from him. And he's the funniest one in the family. And so he's always just saying whatever weird stuff. And so when a professional medical emergency room person says, just put butter on your broken leg.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah.
So it just came out. Sorry. Anyway.
I agree. It is funny. It's hilarious. I'm going to use it for now. Just rub some butter on it.
Put some butter on it. Yeah. Be fine.
Anyway, I forgot what I was even saying. America, we suck at trauma. Oh, yeah.
We're bad at it. There you go.
We also suck at medical remedies.
Yeah.
Yes. We suck at lots of things. Well, and so instead of, you know, dealing with the actual cause of, you know, 9/11 and the things that are going on, we're going to just go destroy a couple countries. Like we have a problem. And you know what, when like we can mourn for a hot minute together, but not really. And then we, it's frustrating. And I could go on. Okay. So there's that. Okay. And that's kind of because I think everyone's been a little bit abandoned. There's a bit of how does it look to be abandoned? And we're using this word because this is a core. So everybody has a couple core wounds if they have wounds. Okay. And almost 100% of the time, there's an abandonment wound somewhere.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. And it's because it's so fundamental to humanity, right? Mm. So what we have found, and here's an example, and please let me make this very clear. I am not blaming parents. That's also an American hobby, is to blame parents for everything and judge each other. So that's not what I'm doing here. But and so, for example, and this is why it's so crucial to get postpartum depression or postpartum psychosis or anything that happens psychosocially, emotionally to the mother, which is why we have no freaking paid family leave. Let me just remind you why we don't feel safe in this country.
Yeah.
And so you have a postpartum, a depression, a mother with depression, and she is interacting with a baby and not emotionally available or capable and is not getting the help and is doing it alone and then has 6 weeks before she has to go back to work. Right? Like we have created such a system that there's not a lot of help in that department. So this young baby is getting what emotion this mother can offer, and maybe it's not a lot. And so you can have very early messages of abandonment, right? Even though that is not her intention and it is not her fault. It's just happening. And the kid doesn't choose any of this. And it's just, I look at the face of the person caring for me to see if I'm safe and okay. Mm-hmm. So very, very early. So we have a couple of instincts, right? And I've talked about this before. We have the instinct to suck. So we eat and don't starve. And then we have the falling reflex, mm-hmm. which is being dropped because we'll die.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think both of those things are related to this abandonment potentiality, right? Mm. Not being fed, neglected, dropped, killed. Okay. So really fundamental to all of us. So it's really easy to find it in everybody. And everyone has a little one, probably. The bigger, the more your symptoms start to show up in certain ways. So we can talk about that in a second. Narcissism, I think, is, we haven't talked much about, people don't write in and say, I'm a narcissist, help me. but I love that. If any narcissists are listening, listen, please send us.
I'm too good at being a narcissist. I don't need any help.
The ultimate narcissism. It's so funny.
And also, anyone has a jerky ex-boyfriend, he's definitely a narcissist. So come on, one of you guys. Yeah. that's how we armchair everybody, is like, if he's a jerk, he's a narcissist. But narcissism is a great example of a pretty deep abandonment wound, or we call them narcissist wounds. And that is where, like, maybe not getting enough actual love, attention, maybe neglect. There's some other things coming at a person with just the right personality, and sometimes we end up with narcissism. Yeah. I don't know if you've met anyone who has the right personality to be a narcissist, but doesn't and isn't, and that's because they probably weren't wounded. So there's some fun mixes of this, and it shows up in lots of different ways. That's kind of an extreme way, but for many people, it could be just sort of unknown fear or unexplainable fears. Anxiety can be an example of some of this abandonment. You can have relationships where you're like really anxious in that connection, or sort of ambivalent. You can have some different attachment styles that occur because of abandonment. And again, your parents are the first people who could possibly abandon you, right? So they're pretty foundational to this. And then you can have this throughout your life. You can be abandoned emotionally at different times. So everyone can relate to this feeling, right? Where you are, someone was supposed to come and they didn't. You know, someone made a promise and it fell through. These are all sort of branches of maybe this core, I'm maybe not safe feeling, maybe a little unlovable and not protected.
Sure. Yeah. Like if you're in a, you know, long-term relationship, and then there's an abandonment quality to just getting dumped, right? Like
same
sort of thing. And if you come to the table, I guess this is where maybe this is all headed. If you come to that table with the feeling that, oh no, I'll probably get dumped here too, that's when things get to be a problem, where you think everything is going to abandon you.
Like no trust. You start.
And then you accidentally create scenarios because you're not trusting and you're not open, that will almost guarantee you get abandoned or neglected or rejected again. Sure. And that is the vicious cycle of this, right? So it sounds like this emailer, let's get to the email. So it sounds like this emailer has had clearly issues with mom, and mom made a decision at some point that I'm out. Mm-hmm. And then whatever was occurring later was the reason dad said, now get out of the house. So we've got some obviously strained relationship ties from, I would assume, much younger than just that moment when mom decided to take off. Mm-hmm. And so maybe there is a buildup to this moment. It'd be one thing. And here's an example of like someone getting in a car accident and damaging their frontal lobe or something and really changing personalities. That absolutely happens. And that person then abandons you. Happens. Right. Mm-hmm. And so you have all this good, safe stuff, and that comes along, and that's really hard. Of course, I don't want to downplay that, but to have it throughout your relationship with someone, just has bigger implications. The other story is, you know, you have more of a foundation to work with, in your own life that makes it a little more resilient, right? Mm-hmm. Can make you more resilient. But when you've had this your whole life, and I'm assuming that, I don't know the answer to that, but I'm assuming that by the end of high school, both of your parents are out of your life.
Yeah.
Is really intense. And you are changing and hormonal and growing, and you don't know what the heck is going on. And you're probably fighting back and rebelling or whatever you're doing. And that's not your grown you self yet. So you are getting rejected at pretty vulnerable stages. So what can happen is whenever this rejection sort of gets started, whatever it may be, the abandonment kind of shows up, there can be some developmental stickiness. So you may have reactions that seem like a 17, 18 year old, or a reaction that seems like you're 5 years old or 10 years old. That's sometimes how, as therapists, we can kind of push back it through time to kind of find where things have started. Is some of the reactivity seems developmentally appropriate for a 10-year-old when you're 40 and you're like, whoa, okay, what happened when you were 10? Or people will describe, I feel I'm throwing a tantrum. They can feel these feelings of like, I'm internally throwing a tantrum. So sometimes it's like a little roadmap to the ages where some of this stuff might have occurred. Because there's some stickiness that happens when you have this type of wound or pain at a certain stage. So this person is on living life. I'm making up stuff now because I don't know. Okay. But I'm assuming they're living their life and have a job and getting a paycheck and maybe have some relationships. And I'm assuming throughout their relationships, there's sort of landmines they see, they feel that they're dancing around that represent potential rejection or potential abandonment. So it could be that my boss is always mad at me, or it could be, so like in my field, like I'd say something to someone that, you know, sometimes I'm saying things that are, hard to hear. Mm-hmm. And that person might just be like, okay, bye. And then like our next session, we got to process it through. But you imagine I got a week to sit with how they responded to a thing that I said.
Yeah.
And I could just be like, oh, you know, like you could see where all of that I'm so afraid would show up in my work. And so for you guys, it might be that you don't produce a thing that everybody loves and, oh no, no one's going to pay you now, or, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever it might be. So whatever this person's life is like, I can imagine there are facets of it that have been wrapped around. There are landmines I have to avoid. And then if I accidentally trip any of them, I'm so afraid someone will take off.
What's the difference between this and like imposter syndrome?
Are they you can see sort of the overlap. Yeah. And sometimes imposter syndrome will be absolutely related to this. Mm-hmm. And this is why parsing everything back to, I mean, this, I don't know what this makes me, an existentialist, a fundamentalist. Those are not the right words. But just like a originalist. Ooh, I'm making up all the words.
Yeah, look at you. But, this is great.
Yeah. Where I feel like these very core innate needs of humans, as the more I work with humans, the more they really boil down to abandonment, lovability, and, oh no, I'm forgetting the third one. Oh, worthiness, which they're really intertwined, right? So when I work with anyone, their wounds usually relate to, am I good enough? Am I lovable? Am I worthy? And, you know, if there's abandonment, then those are always up for grabs, right? Because who tells you you're lovable and worthy? Well, the person looking in your face for the first time before you have language. Mm-hmm. Who's telling you you're lovable and worthy? The teacher who is either helping you or yelling at you, you know? So you have all these faces in your life that tell you if you're good enough and okay enough based on how they're reacting to you, which is a rough measuring stick because everyone's got stuff going on, you know?
Yeah.
But it does create sort of patterns and creates sort of a sense of yourself. So here we are later in life. This person's probably got managing a lot, right? Sure, like handling it, like probably having some relationships, probably doing some things. But with always this shadow that at any minute I can lose this thing because this person's already experienced it.
Sure.
And so it's written on that page. And so the advice is get someone to help you do with this because you're going to run out of electrolytes. I mean, that's not the right term, but like you're going to run out of steam managing that everyone may abandon you and your job and your family and your health and your life. Like this is when we talk about midlife crises, I really wish we could rename it to, I'm into semantics today, but I really wish we could rename it to like, ah, sweet. Now it's time. Think about stuff and here's some help. And we all are in this together and you're great. And really, do you want to keep doing this? Oh, maybe you do. Okay. Hey, let's work on your relationships. Make sure they're healthy and maybe you want to end them. Okay. All right. That's a thing. But like we act, it's like a shame and it's bad. And then people do worse things because of that versus this is developmentally normal to wonder about how do I want to spend the next half of my life as well as, but the truth is you run out of steam carrying the demons around that you had from your first half of your life. And so that would be my advice to this person is, if this is exhausting you now, which it must, right? Mm-hmm. Then let somebody help you. Let somebody help you sort through this and repair what can be repaired and, you know, live with the scars of things instead of sort of the, you know, pussy wound of the thing.
And by that,
there is a very big difference.
And by that, I assume you mean therapy, right? Somebody who can help you walk through this that isn't, you know, just you and your mom.
Your uncle.
Yeah, or whatever.
Right. Grimald. Yeah, no, yeah, sure. Or if you, if there is someone in your life who can help you do this, it's not a therapist. Good for you. Yeah, just because it really goes deep. And there's another thing that a therapist can do. And whoever's new to the show is like, is this just a therapy promotion gig? And it is.
It's a book of the week promotion.
Here's the book. Yeah. Sorry about that. I mean, because I do think a lot of things don't need to go to therapy, but this is one that's so fundamental and we just don't have anything in society. Remember, at least if you're American, trauma is not even a thing. Yeah. So too bad for you. Yeah. So it's really tough to have people in your life that are doing well with their own stuff. And when they are, you know it, and that's great, but they will also just refer you to a therapist because they know they can't actually help you because they've done their work. Right. So, but here's what the therapist relationship can create for someone who's had abandonment in their life is there is a pseudo, that's not the right word, but just basically a vicarious bond relationship you can create with your therapist. And this is why there needs to be a good fit, because you are going to risk trusting this person and you're going to risk that this person could abandon you while you tell them your deepest, darkest stuff. Right. Mm. And so that actual practice is incredibly healing. And for a time you're kind of over attached to your therapist, and eventually there's a healthy separation that can happen. And a lot of therapists are prepared for that, especially if this is the kind of work that they do. And so you get to actually practice someone hearing you, caring about you, listening to all the things and helping you dig and sort that won't abandon you. Mm-hmm. And this is why therapists have to be so careful with schedules. And when, like, I don't know if you know this, but therapists also sometimes have babies, so they need maternity leave. and different aspects, like just taking breaks or even just stopping their practice altogether, because sometimes they stop. That's really, we have to be so careful negotiating these things, because we often have relationships with clients that we are this attachment figure because they have been abandoned so much. And so we have to be really careful how to do that. Not easy, but that is the value of this here. And so I know that sounds scary. That's like walking right into the fire of the thing you're trying to never go to. Mm-hmm. But like we were talking about with phobias last week or anxiety in general, the only cure is to go to the fear. And in this case, it's sort of the only cure is to work through some of these broken attachments.
Yeah.
And find that there is security in. And here's the thing. It's not that the therapist will be perfect or your spouse or your children and there will be no abandonment again. We can guarantee there'll be abandonment. Mm-hmm. We can't control anyone else. That's not what this is about. It's about putting together the puzzle inside. I have 80 analogies going. Now, putting the puzzle inside of yourself, figuring out what you're capable of handling and how to heal, so that if someone one day chooses to abandon you, you have you. The problem is when you're so young and some of these abandonment things start happening, you don't have you, right? And so it's piecing it together so you have you, and then you can handle the other things that are coming at you and the potential of any, because everyone abandon you eventually because you'll die or they'll die. So that's very grim, but it's also true. And it is about working through your stuff so that you can handle those things when they do come.
Well, here's an interesting side note. I happen to know this person, and I know that they are extreme the other direction in terms of their loyalty to those in their immediate life,
yeah,
to their spouse, kids, like, this isn't one of those, the cycle continues situations. This is the reverse of that. This is somebody who's actively working really hard to never be that to anyone else. Yeah. I don't know if that changes any kind of advice we'd give here, but to me, that seems like a really good sign. And I know that even though all of that's true, it's really hard to shake that feeling that people could leave you or that you've been abandoned or whatever. But that helps, right? Like,
yeah. Well, and it's probably some form of compensation too. That's not it's a good form of compensation.
Not a negative.
Like, a bad form of compensation is to be sort of hermitized and go live and hate everyone. Like, that's the easiest way to never get abandoned, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that would, we would probably all agree, is not the healthy version. But this is probably the healthy version of compensating, is really overextending yourself, making sure you are a conflict-free zone all the time. And I don't know if they are, but just like, you can imagine doing, like, going way beyond to try to make sure none of that ever happens, which is also kind of exhausting. Mm-hmm. And so what is there a happier, healthier place to be? And the answer is 99% of the time, yes, for all of us. Right.
Sure.
And so maybe it's just that for some relief, right. There still have these close connections. But if they didn't have to try so hard and had energy for other things, or that fear was gone, you know, you can just think of a whole life you can live without that strain.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, I hope this helps. I know this person has struggled with it for a long time, and I don't know. I feel like we can hopefully point them in the right direction. Hopefully we have today. So follow up and let us know. We'd like to know how you're doing and how things went. And if any of you at home have like specific experiences that you think we could expand upon, send those emails into us, themorningstream@gmail.com, or any of your Therapy Thursday questions. We are happy to talk about them right here on the show. Wendy, anything else going on right now?
It's just November.
Yeah. It is November. You guys aren't coming out here at all, right? This is a year because we just saw you all this summer, I guess. But
yes, we may come in the spring, I think.
Oh, nice.
I mean, if you could hurry up with your snow production.
We'd like to. We'll get on that. There's some meteorologists here locally that think that we're on our way to becoming a tropical zone.
It's like supposed to be 66 or 70 degrees today here in Colorado. So people didn't get the memo that it's November.
Yeah. And supposedly everything east of the Rockies is supposed to be having a cold front. But yet there's Brian having a nice balmy day. We're doing okay. Like, I don't know, man. It's weird.
Well, let me say this. It has been for sure the hottest October on record here. And every day I keep thinking, like, am I in Utah? It feels like this should be. I mean, we're now at like 50 degrees, which is, this is pretty warm for us.
Yeah, it is for that part of the country. It's
freaky. And just not, I mean, we've had rain once in the last 4 weeks. Yeah. It's not normal. Like, we're in a drought here too. So I don't know.
It's weird.
It's all going down.
Well, if you come here,
but
then,
I have
great.
Heard Duluth, Minnesota is a great place to locate for climate change, because it's just like, it'll just be pleasant.
Really?
Yeah. You guys will roast to death and we'll just be pleasant.
The only experience I have with Duluth is like a season of Fargo spent a lot of time in Duluth, and that's about all I know about the place. Yeah. So I should probably go out there and
Duluth,
see
it. Duluth, if you want to just see Sweden and America, go to Duluth. It has such similar, really? Even the architecture, and then like the rocks and the water and the temperature, and it's really similar.
It's all Swedish immigrants though, right? Like that whole area.
Oh yeah. They all came and went, oh yeah, this is home. See ya.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they were like, it's not cold.
It's not cold enough for going back.
Nah, it's cold enough.
That's hilarious. All right. Well,
anyway, November, swimming any day in November. Name the song. Come on.
Wake me up when September ends. Nope.
Swimming every day in November.
November. Yeah, hey, November.
What it is?
What?
It's a Death Cab for Cutie. Not Death Cab for Cutie. It's
Fall Out Boy. Those are the two I get confused all the time.
It is Death Cab for Cutie. No, it's the. It's not the Shins. It's not. Who is it?
I don't know.
Somebody in the chat room, help me. You know, you can swim any day in November.
Nobody's
November. Oh my gosh.
Someone Google it for the love.
Wendy, some
called Sweater Weather.
Wait, what was it?
That's a good one, though.
What was it, Brian? What'd you say?
Oh, there was a song called Sweater Weather, and I'm wondering if that sounds like it could be lyrics from that. But
Here, real quick, my husband and my son would be mortified that I attempted to make a musical reference, because I'm so bad at it.
Oh, I found it.
I'm going to take it back.
Postal Service. Looks like Postal Service. That's who it is.
Oh, my gosh. How embarrassing.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean, that's your death cap for Cutie Connection, right?
Because thank you. I knew. Yes. Yes. And also, don't tell my family. They will be not allowed to be on the show again.
Wendy's knowledge of, like, college alternative has now been challenged. It's been weakened. And we're going to have to let Adam know. So
yes, please do. I'm failing at it. Okay. Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Hopefully, no one gets abandoned. Until next week.
No, don't get abandoned, everybody. And Wendy, have a great week. And we'll see you next time with more hard hitting something. Bye now.
Okay.
All right. Well, there you go. That was good stuff. I hope the person who I know is in the chat even today is got something out of that. I hope I did. So.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Brian.
I know Tristan listens to the show, too, so hopefully...
further confirmation that it was all a mistake, Tristan. We didn't mean to.
Right, exactly. We didn't mean to. We didn't mean to abandon you.
The story I didn't tell was the only place I ever got close to this was in a mall with my daughter, Taylor, and she was like his age, like 5 years old or something. Mm-hmm. And we're in a department store of some sort, and I'm thinking... Okay, well, she's right here, so I'm good to be like flipping through these clothes and looking at stuff. And I turn away for a second, I look back, and she is gone, just like poof, nowhere.
Mm. Oh God! Okay.
Parents' worst nightmare, like
for sure. Yeah.
What am I gonna do? Did someone take her? Who do I talk to? Like, what do I do? And I start panicking, I start freaking out, and I'm like, I'm gonna go talk to the manager and figure this out. And I was there alone with her, and then I hear this voice from inside one of the clothes things going,
yeah, is it one of the circular ones?
Yes. Which are perfectly, they perfectly house a hiding child, you know?
Yes.
So I go digging in there, and of course she's in there laughing her head off. I was so mad because I felt like I had done the worst possible parental turn your head the wrong moment thing. And she thought it was hilarious because she's a kid. She doesn't know.
Of course. Yes, but exactly.
Anyway, so she's fine. I'm the one who's freaked out now. all right. Hey, a reminder, tomorrow at 2 p.m., we are doing the playdate that we put off because of trips and stuff and internet outages and all of that. We're finally back to it. So we are going to finally crack open the 8th edition of the Jackbox Party Set and play some of those games. We keep hearing Job's amazing. So
Job. We got to still do the Drawful Animate, whatever.
Yep, whatever that's called. And all that. So that's tomorrow at 2 p.m. Mountain Time right here at frogpants.tv. And Brian and I will be there, of course, with probably Monica will hang out and be she's part of that tomorrow, right? I hope.
I think so. Yeah. She's got two weddings to go to this weekend, but or this month. But hopefully this one doesn't fall into conflict.
Yep. Should be good. So I'm really looking forward to that. I hope you guys are as well. That's tomorrow, 2 p.m. Right here on the Twitch channel. Quick reminder that our Patreon needs your help. People like Mark Jackson, Jason Miller, and Aaron Wace. They're recent jump-ons as well. We got Mark at the grade A level, the $5 grade A plus level. We got Jason, and same with Aaron. Amazing folks. You can be like them and be a supporter of the show on a monthly basis and take huge advantage of us. Like, imagine $1 a month and how stupid we must be. We've mentioned this before, but really, really think about how dumb Brian and I were when we set this up.
Don't be a slacker. Be a backer.
Be a backer, not a slacker. We said it two different ways, so you have the slogan both ways, everybody. Anyway.
Right, exactly.
Hop in there. Let us know how you're feeling and how you're doing, and sign up today, patreon.com/TMS, and keep those emails coming. themorningstream@gmail.com. If you're looking for anything else, it's all right there at the website, frogpants.com/TMS. We will now end this show, but we'll do it with style. Brian, play us a song.
Well, this one's going out to Captain Ed, who you might have met in Columbus, Ohio. He says, I heard these guys play at a pirate festival, and I've loved their music ever since. Plus, they're local to me here in Columbus, Ohio. Signed, Captain Ed. Now, Ed, the song you chose isn't a cover. I did a little research, and maybe I didn't find the right thing, but the song you linked to was not a cover. But I'll play another cover by the same band. This one is sort of a cover. You'll know what I mean when you hear it. This is from their 2017 album, A Pirate's Life, and it's the title track, and as you might guess, it is sort of a cover of the song from Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean ride, although they changed some lyrics, so it's new as well. Here's the band Brave the Sea with their cover of A Pirate's Life.
Nice. Reminder tonight, Core at 5 p.m. and tomorrow, The Instance at 10 a.m. as well as, there's no There Will Be Dungeons this weekend. We're on a break after our finale, but that's coming back soon. Anyway, if you have any questions about any of that, check out the calendar over at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you guys tomorrow and Monday.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. I woke up naked on a shoreline of the sea. I got up and I looked around me. Captain Ship could not be found. I guess we hardly stuck around. Forgot all about me. But that's okay, I guess it's fair. I did puke in the captain's chair. But I still got some room left to keep me company.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Dead meat.